It's good to have you here today, and I'm glad that you decided to join us. And have you been here all week? If so, then you know we're wrestling with what is righteousness. What does it mean for us to be righteous? And we picked up that word in our ongoing reading of Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Here again is verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Now, if you have not been with us for the last few days of this week, then I want to commend to you God Is as a podcast. And these are available to you from the WEZ website, and they're free. So you never have to miss a broadcast. Just pop in www.590amtheword.com into your web browser. And if you look along the top of the web page that will appear, you'll see the word podcasts. Click that and then scroll down just a bit to God Is. Click that and in descending order of dates, just click play and my voice will greet you and we can easily get you caught up on everything that we've been talking about together. I teach the Bible such that one day's broadcast builds upon another, so honestly, if you tune in sporadically, then you can easily miss an important building block upon which the whole structure of my message stands. But that's what's great about the internet and all the technology that we have at our fingertips today. You just have to put in www.590amtheword.com and then click God Is for all of the podcasts. You do not need to miss a moment. And of course, I highly value and appreciate those of you who are always here. I appreciate your patience as I remind other listeners or new listeners how to get these old broadcasts. So thank you. Let me pray for us as we begin today. Lord Jesus, understanding righteousness is not easy for us, so help us. I depend totally and completely on your wisdom to teach this. And as all of us read your word and listen to your word, we need the Holy Spirit to illumine our minds and hearts. Thank you for giving us the presence of the Holy Spirit living within the Christian's life to help us understand the scriptures. As we read, you make it plain to us. Please do so again today. Thank you. We love you, God, and we're grateful that we get to spend this time with one another and most of all with you. Amen. So we have looked at this keyword righteousness, and here's what I've said thus far. I have defined righteousness for you as this. Righteousness is God making you right with God. Righteousness is God making you right with God. And then I made 3 points. First, we all require Christ's righteousness. Second, Christ makes us righteous. And third, we are made righteous through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And I have supported all of this from the Bible. And today, my fourth point follows my third, and it's this. We must all kill any attempt at being self-righteous. I'll say that again. We must all kill any attempt at being self-righteous. And here is what I mean by that. God is the one who makes us right with God. We do not make our own selves right with God. And here, I want to give an extensive quote from Pastor Donald Gray Barnhouse, and his expositions, his sermon on the book of Romans. Dr. Barnhouse was the pastor of the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia for 33 years. He also pioneered the use of radio to spread the gospel that I'm speaking about today. He was the host of the Bible Study Hour, and many of you will recognize one of his successors at 10th Presbyterian and at the Bible Study Hour as James Montgomery Boyce. Barnhouse was at the church until 1960, and Boyce took over in 1968 until he died in the year 2000. So the people of God over at 10th Presbyterian in Philadelphia are blessed. They're a blessed group of Christ followers. By the way, the Bible Study Hour with Dr. Boyce is on this fine station Sunday mornings, and I want to really encourage you to listen to it. James Montgomery Boyce is an outstanding teacher and preacher of God's Word. All right, the history lesson is over. I do love history. So listen now to what Dr. Barnhouse, Donald Gray Barnhouse, says of God's righteousness versus our own righteousness, a self-righteousness, if you will. He writes this, "It must be understood at every point in our discussion that God's righteousness and man's righteousness are two utterly different kinds of righteousness. They are different in source, aim, scope, and quality. Anyone who thinks that human righteousness is just a lesser form of divine righteousness, just slightly inferior but moving in the same direction, has failed to comprehend the very heart teaching of the whole Word of God. Let us build an analogy by contrast. In physics, it is well known that what we call heat and cold are really two names for the same thing. But everyone knows that a room that Grandma may think is very cold may seem very hot to everyone else in the house. Her frail bones need the atmosphere of the tropical palm room, and your sturdy constitution may desire the fresh and vigorous breeze with a cool 68 on the thermometer. The world has the idea that God's righteousness and man's righteousness are just two different phases of the same righteousness, like ascending degrees from what men call cold to what they call heat. The world gets the idea that the convict's deeds are unrighteousness, but that he has a little good in him that might be counted, and that better men have still a little more righteousness than the convict. Then still better men have still more righteousness, while God has the most righteousness of all. Eventually, men get to thinking that there is a certain degree of righteousness in man that is acceptable to God, and that if a man reaches that point, he will attain heaven by his own human righteousness. Everywhere, the Bible repudiates such a concept. When our text tells us that the gospel reveals the righteousness of God, it is saying that God must inevitably demand of man that which man can never furnish by himself. Think how unjust it would be if God set a condition for entrance into heaven that could be met by only a small portion of the human race. If God demanded a certain degree of intelligence, it would be unjust to morons. If he demanded wealth, it would be unjust to paupers. If he demanded moral righteousness, it would be unjust to those born with a nature whose moral fiber has been weakened by the depravity of a long line of sinning ancestors. God comes to us, however, on a basis that is totally apart from any standards raised by man. We will never understand the Word of God until we realize that the nature of God demands that he require the impossible of us, and that when it has been thoroughly demonstrated that no man can fulfill the requirements of God, that God himself shall intervene and give us a free gift, that which he demands of us. If we take absolute perfection as the norm of human righteousness, we might say that the convict has fulfilled 20%, the average man 50%, and the ethical leader 80%. No man has ever lived that has achieved the 100%. It is evident, of course, that we do not measure Jesus Christ in this comparison, for he was far more than a mere man and possessed the righteousness of God in all its perfection, as well as living up to any human righteousness which man might design. But if any ordinary mortal is considered, we must see that he falls in some category of imperfection. Fortunately, there are some people who spend their time trying to increase the percentage of their human righteousness, and thus fail to lay hold upon the totally different righteousness which God provides by the gospel. Do not think that the convict is to say, God, I've done 20% by myself, and so I need 80% from you. And do not think that the ethically good man is to say, God, you see that I have done 80% by myself, and so fortunately, I just need to trouble you for no more than 20% to make up that which is lacking. On the contrary, the convict must learn to curse his 20% of human righteousness, abandon all hope of salvation by means of it, and come to the cross of Jesus Christ to receive the 100% of a totally different righteousness, which is provided by the Lord Jesus Christ on the basis of his atoning death for sin and sinners. And what is much harder, the good man must curse the 80% of human righteousness, abandon all hope of salvation by means of it, and come to the cross of Christ to receive the 100% of a totally different righteousness, which does not come from man at all, but which is provided by the Lord Jesus Christ on the basis of his atoning death for sin and sinners. I have been quoting extensively from Donald Gray Barnhouse, and I trust that you caught at least the gist of it. I really like his analogy of the convict, the prisoner, who thinks he's 20% righteous and only needs Jesus 80% to make it to 100%. And of the ethically good person who thinks they are 80% self-righteous and only need 20% of Jesus' righteousness to make it to 100%. As Barnhouse rightly says, we must kill any attempt, the 20%, the 80% of self-righteousness, and accept the 100% of Christ's righteousness for us. My fourth point in our study of this word righteousness in Romans 1 and verse 17 is this: we must kill any attempt at being self-righteous. And so how about you? Do you think that you have done enough righteous works and deeds to win you favor with God? My definition of righteousness is God making you right with God. But perhaps you disagree in practice. You live in such a way that your definition of righteousness is me making myself right with God. Well, if that's the case, then today I invite you to come to Jesus Christ and say, "My righteousness comes from you and you alone. Please make me righteous, Jesus. I thank you that God will make me right with God, and I trust you. I'm trusting in you to make it so." Well, if this is what you want to do, then drop me an email and I'll pray for you and pass along further insight into how Jesus makes us right with God. My email address is mark@markaswallow.com. That's M-A-R-K at M-A-R-K-A-S-W-A-L-L-O-W.com. Write to me today, and then join me tomorrow, for God is...